Revelation chapter 21, we're going to pick up at verse 1. Barely got started in this chapter last Wednesday evening, so we'll just start at the beginning. I want to read in the New King James Version. We'll read the first 8 verses of this chapter. Revelation 21, verse 1 and following. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who drinks or thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21, in verse 1, Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, also there was no more sea. Made mention last Wednesday evening that this creation of the new heaven and new earth under consideration is not the creation of a new planet with new moon and new stars and so forth, as some of our materialistic sects around us believe that one day there's going to be renovation or a making new of all that exists today. That's not really what's under consideration. I suggested to you as we ended last Wednesday evening that you read in Isaiah 65 and in Isaiah 66, because this is just fulfillment of prophecy that God had mentioned before through the prophets, a new heaven and a new earth. Not a literal heaven and a literal earth. What we'll see in the context of our study tonight is the new heaven and a new earth under consideration is actually a new order of things. An order of things that did not exist before. Thus it is new. There was an old order of things, we'll see in our context tonight, that the heaven and earth has passed away, and there's no more sea. The former heaven and earth, of course, under consideration in our context, was apostate Israel and the city of Jerusalem. It was the worship of God under the law of Moses. It was an old order of things. It was earthly. It was physical. It was a physical city. Physical sacrifices were offered. There were a priesthood. There were all sorts of things done that are not done in this new order of things. It is a spiritual order. And that's what the heavens, new heaven and new earth has reference to. I want to read in Isaiah 65, verse 17 through 25, in case you did not get an opportunity to read this. Isaiah 65, beginning in verse 17. Now, in this chapter, Isaiah sees the destruction of Old Jerusalem. Old Jerusalem, that is, by the Babylonians. But he sees, after the destruction of Old Jerusalem by the Babylonians, he sees a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. And so it is the prophecy that we're studying about in the book of Revelation. That's what he sees, because in the book of Revelation, what have we seen? We've seen the destruction of Old Jerusalem. And now we see new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. Same thing in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 65 and in verse 17. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. Note this, for behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. We could go on and read. Let me read a couple of verses from Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse 22 and 23. Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. All flesh, both Jew and Gentile. All right, so we see that this new heaven and new earth that John saw here, Revelation 21 and in verse 1, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, it was spoken of in prophecy. And we see it clearly outlined for us in the readings that we just made, Isaiah 65, verse 17 and following, and Isaiah 66, verse 22 and following. Now I want you to remember what Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 10. 2 Peter 3 and in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hasting the coming of the day of God? Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. We saw that back in the previous chapter, in Revelation chapter 20, where the world was destroyed, vanished away, the judgment occurred. But here in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 13, now reading on, Peter says, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, that is, according to God's promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now one ought automatically think, well, the new heaven and the new earth had not come yet. Well, it had come. The new order of things came about when Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand and took His blood, His sacrificial blood, into the Holy of Holies and made atonement for the sins of mankind. He established a new order of things, a spiritual order of things, contrast to the old order that existed under the law of Moses. And so here in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 13, nevertheless, we according to His promise, according to God's promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Yes, because Peter wrote, before Jerusalem was destroyed. When Jerusalem was destroyed, old Jerusalem, it was a part of the old order of things. When Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, the old order of things completely vanished away. It was completely done away with. And so, of course, Peter and others would still be looking for this new order of things because You might say, all in God's promises had not been fulfilled or taken place yet. So the expression, new heavens and a new earth, simply denotes a change in the spiritual order of things. Isaiah's new heaven and new earth was preceded again by his portrayal of ancient Jerusalem's destruction, and that it follows by the creation of the new heaven and new earth and a different Jerusalem. And this follows the same pattern that we see in the book of Revelation. We note here in Revelation 21 and in verse 1, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Not talking about the literal heaven and earth passing away. Talking about that old order of things passing away. Judaism, the city of Jerusalem, apostate Israel. Israel was no longer God's people. The city of Jerusalem was no longer God's city. The temple was no longer His dwelling place. And so the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. But there's a new heaven and a new earth. Again, a new order of things. The old order of things was the first heaven and the first earth. Not the literal earth and the literal heaven, but the old order of things under Judaism. So to fulfill His promise, that is God's promise, in bringing about new heavens and a new earth, He took away the first in order to establish the second. He took away the first covenant and established the second covenant. It is indeed a new order of things, a new law, a new covenant. We see in Revelation 21 and in verse 1, there is no more sea. No more literal sea? No. Remember what's under consideration. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There's no more sea. The sea, of course, is water. Back in chapter 17, in verse 15, He said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. But there's no more sea in this new order of things. There's no more people, nation, orders, and tongues. There is no more distinction between Jew and Gentile. All of that has been separated and taken out of the way. There is but one people now, the people of God, and they consist of both Jew and Gentile. They consist of all mankind who are willing to render obedience to the gospel of Christ. Just think of the earth without seas. If you could take away all the seas, all the water off of the earth, you would have nothing but one land mass. And that's what we have, no more seas. New heaven and new earth with no sea. No separation between the nations. What was it about the old order of things that brought about a separation of the nations? The old covenant. But under the new covenant, there is no separation. All are children of God. All are spiritual Israel. Revelation 21 and in verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. New Jerusalem. We had just read earlier in Isaiah 65 and verse 17 and following that when God created new heaven and a new earth, He was going to create Jerusalem again. And so we have it here. Follows the new heaven and the new earth. New heaven and new earth, new order of things. But in this order of things, there has to be a dwelling place. A dwelling place for God. Under the old order of things, there was a dwelling place for God. The tabernacle and the temple in the city of Jerusalem. And so He says in Revelation 21 and verse 2, then I, John, saw the holy city. Is it any question in your mind what the holy city is? Isaiah 52 and in verse 1, awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Old Jerusalem, the holy city. We could read several occasions where Jerusalem is referred to as the holy city. Matthew 4 and in verse 5. Then the devil took him, that is Christ, upon into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Revelation 11 and verse 2. But leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Old Jerusalem was the holy city, but the new Jerusalem is referred to as a holy city as well. When we consider the book of Revelation as being designed to show the destruction of apostate Israel and old Jerusalem, then our understanding of new Jerusalem should be greatly enhanced. The old city was a physical city. The new city is a spiritual city. It's in the new order of things. And so the change in the spiritual operation began with the death of Christ on the cross and was completed when he was enthroned as king at God's right hand. Acts 2 and verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. This was the change that resulted in the new creation of the new heavens and earth. 40 days passed between the resurrection of Christ and his ascension to heaven. Another 10 days passed before the events of Pentecost transpired with the beginning of this new order of things, a new spiritual order of things. During that interlude, of course, Jesus entered into heaven, carried his blood into the Holy of Holies, and made atonement for the sins of mankind. It was for the sins of the whole world. And the first ones redeemed by the blood of that sacrifice was who? Old Testament saints. That's who was first redeemed by the blood of that sacrifice. Old Testament saints. Hebrews 9 and in verse 15. Hebrews 9 and in verse 15, the Hebrew writer said, for this reason he, that is Jesus, is the mediator of the new covenant, and by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, note this, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Hebrews 10 and verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Hebrews 11 and verse 39. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect or complete, that is, they should not be saved apart from us. Those Old Testament saints, when Jesus took his blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven and made atonement for the sins of mankind, those Old Testament saints were the first ones redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. Note this, he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Note this, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He waited for the city. What city did Abraham wait on? With Isaac and Jacob. He waited on the heavenly city, New Jerusalem. That's the city he waited on. He wasn't waiting on some different city than we were waiting on when we became Christians. We all become citizens of the same city. Remember, Jesus spoke in the gospel accounts about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob reclining with him in the kingdom of God. Yes, they're in the kingdom of God. They're in this heavenly city, New Jerusalem. Because we were not saved apart from them. They were saved by the blood of Christ and we were saved. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, All of those Old Testament worthies mentioned there in Hebrews 11. These all died in faith. Note this. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, literally upon the land. They were in the land of Canaan, but they were just strangers and pilgrims there. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, Mesopotamia, they would have had opportunity to return to it. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. He has prepared. He's appointed a city for them. He's destined a city for them. The same city that they were destined to enter, we are destined to enter by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the holy city, New Jerusalem. So with this thought in mind, we also observe with John the beginning of Christianity, as we saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion with 144,000. Remember, they were the first fruits unto God. Revelation 14 and verse 1 again reminds you. Then I looked, and behold, a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written on their foreheads. Now remember, this 144,000, the number is symbolic. It's not to be taken literal, but it's a fixed number. It's a fixed number because those who are under consideration are those who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, those who are Israelites. Reading on, Revelation 14, and in verse 2, And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of a loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpers playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song. Note that, a new song. Before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of the water. So the 144,000 were those Old Testament saints who were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we've saw it before, or we have seen it before in the book of Revelation. And so now we're prepared to see the same picture of this beginning again. The holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. Note that. John saw this holy city coming down out of heaven. Not going to God in heaven. That's important. Why is she coming down from God out of heaven? For two reasons. First, her first citizens were redeemed from among the dead in the Hadean realm. It was the Old Testament saints. And God, having redeemed them then, did what? Well, on the day of Pentecost, He poured forth His Spirit for the beginning of the redemption under the new covenant. And those who were persuaded on that occasion obeyed God on the day of Pentecost and were added to the number of the Old Testament worthy. Acts 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. On the day of Pentecost, when people obeyed the gospel, they were added to the church. Do you not see the picture? To whom were those on the day of Pentecost added? They were added to the Old Testament saints. the church came into existence. When Christ took his blood into the Holy of Holies, redeemed those Old Testament saints. We're talking about those who have been long dead, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of those perhaps mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Those whom God did not make perfect apart from us. And so, the New Jerusalem, we note in the text, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Note this, Revelation 21 and verse 2. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In this attire, we have observed her before. The saints who rejoiced over the destruction of Babylon the Great back in chapter 19 and verse 7 and following. Praise God that the marriage supper of the Lamb had come and that his wife had made herself ready. Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. So in that scene we just read about, at the time of Jerusalem's destruction, the marriage had already taken place. And John is simply seeing her coming out of heaven prepared as a bride for her husband. John is viewing, you might say, the beginning of the church again. The beginning of New Jerusalem again, as he saw it coming out of heaven from God. The Old Testament prophets foretold that when the Gentiles were brought into covenant relationship to God, that he would be married to this spiritual Jerusalem. There are several passages we could read. But just make note of this one in Hosea chapter 2 and in verse 16. Hosea 2 and verse 16 and following. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband, and no longer call me my master. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day I will make a covenant for them, with the beast of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. And then I will say to those who were not my people, Gentiles, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. So God says, when the Gentiles are brought into a covenant relationship with him and call him their God, he would be married to Israel. He will be married. And that's the picture we have here. Jesus likewise prophetically portrayed his marriage to the bride, Matthew 22, verse 1 through 14, Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. And the New Testament writers also pictured the marriage as having taken place, Romans 7 and verse 1. And therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Ephesians 5 and in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Remember there in Ephesians chapter 5? He spoke about the husband and wife relationship, but when he comes to the end of the text, it's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So what do we have? Revelation 21 and in verse 2 again. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. But some will say, well, she's prepared as a bride. The marriage hadn't taken place yet. Well, according to the Apostle Paul, it had. Romans 7 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. Ephesians 5 and verse 32. The marriage had already taken place. And through this marriage, children were being produced. Remember Galatians 4 and about verse 26? But Jerusalem above is what? The mother of us all. So some will say, well, what we see here is we see a marriage that's going to take place in the future. No, marriage has already occurred. And children are being produced from that relationship. If not, then children of God have been born out of wedlock. Who will believe it? Revelation 21 and in verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, so after witnessing the beginning of this new order with the emergence of the bride of Christ, holy Jerusalem, John here hears a voice from heaven speaking loudly in affirmation that what God has promised through his prophets is actually now a reality. New Jerusalem has come into existence. And behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. The tabernacle of God is with men, of course, is an Old Testament prophecy in which God promised to dwell in the midst of his people when the new covenant came into effect. Just one passage out of many we could read. Ezekiel 37, verse 19 and following. Ezekiel 37, verse 19 and following. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will join them with it, with a stick of Judah, and make them one stick, that they will be one in my hand. That's one nation again. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before the eyes, before their eyes, excuse me. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all of their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them. A prophecy that Christ will reign over them. And they shall all have one shepherd, that's Christ. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. They shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. My servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. That's the new covenant. I will establish them and multiply them, Note this, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. What is this tabernacle? Anybody? What is this tabernacle and this sanctuary? It's the church. That's what it is. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God." The church is referred to as New Jerusalem. Here it's referred to as the tabernacle of God. So according to the New Testament, and these promises that we just read about here in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 19 through verse 28, are all recognized and realized in the church. In the church. Hebrews 9 and in verse 11. Hebrews 9 and in verse 11. But Christ came as high priest over the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Must be of a new creation. If it is not of the earthly creation, it must be of a new creation. The tabernacle, the church. That's what's under consideration. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Now, don't pull this out of the context. Because when we come to this verse, that's what a lot of people want to do. They just want to wrench it right out of the context. It's clear, at least it is to me, in the first three verses we've done read, it's clear to me that is the church under consideration. A new spiritual order of things that came into existence with a sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ on behalf of all mankind. And so, verse 4, note, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. From whose eyes? Those mentioned in verse 3. Where are those in verse 3? Where are they at? They're in the church. They're in the tabernacle, which is not of this creation. They're in New Jerusalem. That's where they're at. God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The former things? What were the former things that passed away? The old order of things. That was the former things. The old order of things. There was a lot of weeping and crying. In the old order of things, there was a lot of sorrow, a lot of death, and a lot of pain. But those former things have passed away. It's primarily upon this basis of this passage here that the New Jerusalem, in the first three verses of this context, has been imagined as a picture of heaven. But the application to heaven is completely without merit. Listen to me. John's picture of New Jerusalem, however, is based upon Old Testament prophecies which had their fulfillment in the new order of things. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Isaiah 25 and in verse 8. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of His people He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Isaiah 30 and verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you as the sound of your cry. When He hears it, He will answer you. Isaiah 51 and verse 11. So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah 60 and verse 18. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation, your gates praise. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. And we could go on and read. I like to read in Isaiah 65 and verse 12 and following, but time doesn't allow it. What we've read here in Revelation 21 and verse 4 does not mean that Christians would never shed tears. To the contrary, while on earth, Christians will suffer many tears. Yet Jesus said in Luke 6 and in verse 21, "Blessed are you who hunger, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." It tells me that there's not going to be any weeping, there's going to be laughing. And again, John 16 and verse 20, "Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman when she is in labor has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been brought into the world. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice and your joy no one will take from you." When we read Revelation 21 and verse 4, we want to say, well, that's literal language. Everything else we've read in the book of Revelation, we make it symbolic and figurative. But when it comes to Revelation 21 and verse 4 and following, we want to say it's literal. It is simply in this new order of things. I want you to think about it. In this new order of things, who were the first ones redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ? It was those Old Testament saints in the Hadean realm, in paradise, in Abraham's bosom. Do you suppose there's any pain there in paradise, in Abraham's bosom? They're in New Jerusalem. They're in the church. No pain there. What about sorrow in paradise, in Abraham's bosom, there in the Hadean realm, in the presence of Christ? No pain. No pain, no sorrow. What about death there in the Hadean realm in paradise in Abraham's bosom in the presence of Christ? No death there. So literally, there won't be, if you want to take it literal. And one day we'll all be there unless the Lord comes first, and then we'll be taken to heaven where there'll not be any. But I want to pick up here with this verse. There's some other things we need to say about it. Revelation 21 and verse 4, next Wednesday evening. Any thoughts or comments tonight? Questions? All right, thank you very much. We'll pick up here at Revelation 21 and verse 4 next Wednesday evening.